One.
Hey, Stu.
Thomas, how are you, sir?
Good, buddy. Good. Sun's out here. Look at this.
Yeah, nice day. Nice day. I like
Early on a Sunday
it.
morning. Tactical Fitness Report with Stu Smith. This is number 64. This is the famous ABDs of nutrition.
Yeah, this is a good article. There's a lot in this article, so I'm going to link it into the description below. Because I don't think we'll be able to cover everything that's in this. And with nutrition, there are so many it depends and different scenarios that, it really depends on you, your health, your scenario that, what type of workout you're going to do, how long you're going to work out. All of these things, make your nutritional needs change throughout the day even. So we'll try to get a little general, but I think it might be best to just start off pretty specific with the question that was asked in the article.
Yeah, so this was generated by a question that you got a while back. This is not new. You've had this subject at you for a while.
Yeah.
And the question was this: what should I eat or drink during and after my workout? I'm 40 years old, and my goal is to look better and be healthier. I need to lose weight, in other words. Well, so I think the way that might work well, Stu, is to let's take them in two different pieces. Let's take first the subject of what do I eat before, during, and after workouts, and then we'll deal with weight loss later.
Yeah,
So let's deal with that question first. So how do you think about that subject?
thanks. Well, first of all, I'm not a nutritionist, right? So any nutritional advice here is just anecdotal evidence that works for me
Yeah,
and
but
what I have seen work for others.
but Stu, you're playing a nutritionist on podcasts. So,
Right. Yeah, well, I don't want to come across as like I am a registered dietitian or a nutritionist, because here's the deal. If you have issues and you may not even know about them as being issues, let's say diabetes or insulin resistance or metabolic syndrome, all of these things change the way you need to be eating, especially if you're getting older and you need to lose weight. So, there's a lot of big ifs in this one. But let's deal with the guy who's just trying to get in better shape and needs to lose a little bit of weight. And we can touch that on the back end. The ABDs are kind of cool. I saw this presentation a while back ago and just loved it. And the guy who created it, his name's in the article. But ABDs, it's kind of got my attention, ABCs of nutrition, the ABDs. I was like, oh, what's this? And sure enough, it's the after, before, and during, your day or your workout, what you should eat in that. So I always like to go before, during, after, because it just makes chronological sense in my brain. So, let's just talk a little bit about before, and this also depends on the time of day that you are going to be working out. And really what you're going to be doing during that workout. All right, for instance, you and I like to work out first thing in the morning. Sometimes we miss that and we have to work out at night, or sometimes we have to work out during lunch. So, I think each one kind of depends. First thing in the morning, if you're going to do a hard weightlifting, calisthenic, almost like high intensity type workout, or you're going to run sprints or something, swim sprints, you're going to need a little more blood sugar. You're going to need to eat a little something before you go. Doesn't have to be a lot, but you can burn all your glycogen out and you already have a low blood sugar level, first thing in the morning, because you haven't eaten anything in likely 10 or 12 hours from your last meal. So, when they talk about your fasting blood sugar levels, when you take a blood test, you can't eat anything overnight. Well, they want to see where your blood sugar levels are. And typically, if you're healthy, it's going to be right at about 100, right? That's just the way it normally stays. However, if you're diabetic and your insulin's not working right, it could be 150, 200, and that, now you have a problem, right? Or you could be just the opposite and you have really low blood sugar, and you could be down to 50 and be seeing stars when you wake up because you're just you're really dizzy and lightheaded. And a lot of times you'll see guys who work out first thing in the morning and they don't eat anything or don't have anything to drink during their workout. They can't last very long because of that. They get really dizzy, get lightheaded, get nauseated during the workout. And 9 times out of 10, it is usually a blood sugar issue. Is when you have a nauseated workout, you just didn't eat anything all day. Now the other, and I wrote an article on this too, about nauseated workouts, is the other one could be motion sickness. Like if you ever think about some of the exercises you do, like a lot of crunches or not flutter kicks, but you know, crunches and sit-ups. And, you know, if you're kind of scanning the room doing this while you're, not looking at one thing, like, you know, look at the horizon, like when you're on a boat, I mean, you get really nauseated just from motion sickness of some of these workouts. So, you know, like I said, there's a lot of little things in there that can cause some of the very same symptoms of being low blood sugar. And sometimes it's motion sickness from a workout. But what we're trying to avoid with a morning workout is you only lasting about 20 or 30 minutes before you start getting dizzy, right? And the way to do that is have something beforehand that has some carbohydrates in it. Like I said, once again, this advice would be different for someone who is diabetic or insulin resistance and things like that. You can have a little bit of carbohydrate, but you want to watch it. You know, it depends. You always want to check your blood sugar if you're going to go into a workout, if you have some of these, you know, blood sugar issues. But so let's get focused on this guy. And I would say this, if he's doing a morning workout first thing before, it depends. One day he may want to maybe eat a banana, you know, have some blood sugar in it and as, you know, get his blood sugar levels up. Maybe just sip some juice or Gatorade, you know, something with a lot of sugar in it. Just kind of boost those levels up, especially if he's going to lift weights and do something that is, you know, kind of anaerobic, get your heart rate up real high. Now, if he's just going for a walk, nice steady walk, low impact cardio event, not getting the heart rate up too high, doesn't need to eat anything. You know, maybe some water just so you don't get dehydrated. And if you're not sweating profusely, something that doesn't, you know, something that doesn't need to replace the electrolytes. But if you are sweating profusely, you know, you're going to need to replace those electrolytes too, which is just sodium and potassium, things like that. So that's where I would start off before, you know, and it kind of depends on what you are going to do. If you're going to go high intensity, you need to eat something. And eat something, like, just because I say eat something doesn't mean eat what I do. I personally like a banana and some juice, right? That may not work well for you in your stomach first thing in the morning. You may need to find something. And that's where life comes in, because you got to practice some of these things. You know, you got to practice what and find the magic thing that works for you. And then write it down, because one day when you have a great workout, Tom, and you're just killing it and you're feeling great, what I like to do is go back 12 hours and say, what did I do that made this workout so great?
That's a really good idea.
Because think about it. You probably slept better than you did the night before. So you're well rested. You probably ate real well the night before. You probably had a little bit of, you're not dehydrated, you know, so you drank enough water. You know, so all these little things come into balance and they typically produce really good results on the back end. So every time you have a great day, do a little research and say, man, what did I eat that allowed me to do this?
You know, so that's a great idea. Just to that point, I worked out a couple of days, well, the last 2 days, and the day before yesterday, I did great. Yesterday I sucked, and yesterday was Saturday of all days.
Yeah.
And I did it not in the morning because I had a bunch of stuff to do. We started early in the morning yesterday. and so I ended up not working out before we started working. So that's a really good idea, Stu. I will do that, because that's a great idea. And you like to go back about 12 hours?
Yeah, I'd say about 12 hours, at least until the last time you were awake,
Okay.
You know, like what you were doing before you went to sleep and how you slept. I think that is really big. You know, if you've you know, sometimes it's just adrenaline. You know, if you've had a really good day, right, and everything worked for you at work, and now you're pumped to go work out, and you just got this adrenaline going. You know, sometimes it's as simple as that. Sometimes it is actually, you know, a component of your performance is a component of good rest, good nutrition, good hydration, and, you know, maybe a first thing in the morning or in the evening where you've had a decent day and not a lot of extra stress.
You know, we talked a little bit about heart rate, and, you know, I've gotten fascinated with heart rate because I've got the new version of the Apple Watch that tracks my heart rate 24 hours a day. And we were talking about base level resting heart rate, sleeping heart rate.
Yeah.
And so I went back and checked because you were surprised that my numbers were so low, and I was just saying it's because I'm winding down in life, and you were telling me now that's not the case. But I should go back and check because I noticed the variation in my resting heart rate. So I was 32 one night, I was 37 two nights later, but in between I was 48.
Huh.
And I wonder what that might have to do. And I looked because it shows you the variation.
Yeah.
Think
about what you were thinking about too.
Yeah.
You know, because hormonally, all I have to do is think about somebody, you know, like breaking into my house and, you know, doing something, and I am wide awake now, and, you know, I am like game on, and my heart rate is like jumped into the 80s, you know, when it should be low 40s.
Well, you know, what would be funny. I mean, you know, I'm dealing with a pretty stressful situation in one of the situations. So I'm going to go back and see what my heart rate was last night, but I bet it wasn't in the 40s even.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's amazing what your mind can do to your body. But, you know, when you feel that happening and you notice it, take a couple big deep breaths and watch it come back down. And you can control it both ways. I mean, your mind can, you know, create those adrenaline and fight or flight hormones that are responding. And these are some of the things that make nutrition advice very difficult.
Yeah.
You know, and is your performance a result of your better nutrition? That's the question, right? So before a workout, it really kind of depends. It depends on, you know, the time of day and like what's been going on. So like I said, I tend to go with the carbohydrate pre-workout type meal.
So let's say we've covered if this particular person works out first thing in the morning.
Yeah.
What happens if he works out at lunchtime, or what happens if he works out in the evening or the afternoon? Mm-hmm. How would you have him look at the subject of before?
Well, I would take a look at what did you eat for breakfast? Because that may be enough. You know, if you're going to do a workout during lunch and you had a normal breakfast and maybe a snack of a banana or an apple or something later in the morning, you know, that's you're probably going to be plenty fueled for a lunchtime workout that may only last 30 or 45 minutes. Mm-hmm. So, before a workout like that, there's no need to, you know, boost your energy levels, you know, to get through that workout. You know, during the workout, you know, once again, becomes an issue. It really depends on what you're doing as well. One, is it hot as hell, right? Are you sweating profusely? Is the environment arid, so where the sweat that you are producing is evaporating immediately, so you can see that in salt stains on your shirt? You know, those will require more sodium and potassium, electrolyte and water, you know, during your workout. You know, whereas if you're not really sweating that much, you don't need to be chugging a thing of Gatorade, right? You just take a couple sips of water and you're fine. But if you're doing a really long workout, and we're talking, let's say you're doing a 8-mile ruck or something that's going to take you a couple of hours, you know, that's where the during really matters. Now you can kind of keep your heart rate down and do a nice steady cardio and kind of be in what we call a fat burning mode. You're not going to get your heart rate up too high to where you're burning your blood sugar and your glycogen. But if you do, just realize that you're going to have a limited amount of time of being able to put out like that, you know, at that higher level. You might, you know, typically, you know, studies show you're somewhere between 25 and 40 minutes between, you know, when you start to lose all your glycogen, if you're burning it at a pretty high rate.
Okay.
Right. Cause that's really what the sugar is there for. It's you're going to be burning sugar because your body requires, your body will require that type of quick energy. If your heart rate's higher, if your heart rate's lower, your body can actually metabolize body fat and, at a nice longer sustained pace. However, our bodies are pretty efficient machines and it will burn blood sugar just because it's used to burning blood sugar and glycogen. And it's the easiest thing to form to burn. So what we try to do when we're creating workouts is we'll start off with all the resistance stuff first, all the high rep calisthenics, all the weightlifting, maybe throw in some sprints and, you know, fast, you know, get your heart rate up real fast. So you're kind of going through all that glycogen and blood sugar, you know, during the first part of your workout. And then there's a time where you're kind of starting to feel it, kind of getting a little dizzier, kind of losing some energy pace. And then you there's a good time to you make a decision. You either need to get some more carbs in you, right, or some kind of fuel for you, or you need to slow it down a notch and go into a lower heart rate zone and just go into your nice, steady, cool-down cardio for a while. One thing that we do here is we'll do all our calisthenics, all our weights first. We'll get our runs done, and we try to keep these runs pretty fast pace. And then we go into the pool and kind of transition into the pool, which is really nice because, one, you know, half of your fatigue is body heat. Yeah. So you can kind of jump in the pool, lose some body heat a little bit, almost get that second wind. And now you are in that mode of, all right, let's keep it going and nice steady pace in the pool. You know, not going too high on the anaerobic levels. You probably won't last very long, but you can stay in a longer sustained amount of time, just going nice and steady pace and just be in that, you know, burning that fat mode. But if you're going to push hard, you're going to need some kind of fuel. Is what I'm saying. So that's where the during gets a little tricky. You know, it really kind of depends on what your goals are. For this guy who's trying to lose weight, what I would recommend is try to push hard for the first 20 or 30 minutes of your workout. And then if you have 15, 20 minutes left, just keep rolling, but drop it a notch of intensity. Okay. Just kind of be in that nice, steady cool down zone where your heart rate's a little lower. It's not what we call conversational pace, you know, so you're now, instead of at a pace where you can barely talk because your heart rate's so high, now you drop it down a notch and you can still speak, you know, and your heart rate's probably in the 120s, maybe a little less, and you're just nice, steady pace. Keep rolling.
So Stu, what would be, so let's say that you've answered the question of, what do I do with nutrition before a workout, either early in the morning or later in the day? So we've answered that question. Now you're into, how do I deal with the blood sugar levels during a workout? And then you said that depending on the workout, you may need to supplement your nutrition during this workout. What do you use to supplement your nutrition during that workout besides just water?
Once again, it depends. You know, high rate of sweat or, you know, arid environments is going to cause you to need electrolytes at the same time. You can't just pump water into those situations because, it's not good for you. And whenever you hear of people dying from, you know, triathlons or Ironmans or marathons, is typically when they're not replacing their electrolytes and they're just replacing their water. In fact, it's called, you know, hyponatremia, and it's water intoxication.
Just basically. Take a second and explain just at a very high level so people understand What happens when you get an electrolyte deficiency in your system when you're pushing like that?
Well, you know, that's a really good question that, you know, I like to look up these answers, you know, and read them, and you can find them on medical, you know, websites. But basically what's happening is you need electrolytes to make your muscles and cells communicate with each other. And when you're not, when they're not communicating, they start falling apart, and you can actually, you know, cause some damage to your kidneys as well. You know, if you're not having these electrolytes, you know, in your body at the same time. So it, you know, like I said, it's something that's a little, do yourself a favor and read about hyponatremia. Because it's called water intoxication. You can do it one of two ways. You can drink a whole gallon of water in about 10 minutes and try to drink another gallon in 10 minutes, and you're going to have the same type of effects of water intoxication that one would have, because you're just going to push all your electrolytes out. And or you can be sweating profusely and only hydrating with just water. It causes the same type of effect. So there's a lot of people that die doing one or the other.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Yes. And I think it's important for people that do these kind of lengthy, you know, anything over an hour.
Yeah. Especially in humid and arid environments.
Yes.
And they're sweating profusely.
We had, you know, not to be terribly morbid, but we had somebody, you know, lose their life because of an electrolyte imbalance during one of our long ops one time. And it was, it turned out that what happened in the analysis at the end too was that his heart failed to function properly. So the electrical stimulation that the electrolytes help enable in the system, they failed. Because there weren't enough of them to conduct the electricity to keep the heart rate going. Ended up having a heart attack.
Yeah.
And, you know, unfortunately, because the situation didn't make it. But that's a, I saw that so early, and that was something that, and in when that happened, it was not that big a deal about the way people thought about these things. You weren't as careful as they are now. But how do you, so Stu, let's go back to even the more specific. Knowing that these are potential problems in these conditions and you're pushing yourself, you know, into high rates for long periods of time during your workouts, what do you carry with you? You know, what do you carry with you for we talked about the hydration, but when you need fuel beyond hydration, right, what do you carry with you for these things?
Well, if I need fuel, because I am lifting a lot of weights, but I'm not that sweaty. You know, I don't tend to worry a lot about the electrolyte side.
Yeah.
Right. But now, as long as I'm not in an arid environment, if I'm in the desert, I'm just going to naturally assume that my sweat is evaporating, and I will always use some type of electrolyte fluids. You know, Gatorade, Endure is a good one made by Killcliff. I like. And then there's these little packets that you can buy over the counter, and I buy them at Walgreens all the time, called Drip Drop. Okay. And Drip Drop is just mainly sodium and a little bit of flavored, you know, sodium and potassium that you pour into a bottle of water, and it turns your 16-ounce bottle of water into a, you know, a life-saving electrolyte mix that's very important. You know, I think that's a really good one. It's a great mix. I think, you know, it, once again, look into a couple of these. I like Drip Drop. I like the Killcliff version of, they call it Endure. It's got a little bit of sugar. And I think what they're doing is they're competing with Gatorade in a way that Gatorade has a good amount of electrolytes in it, but it has probably twice the sugar that a lot of people need. However, if you're really, really pushing hard, and some of my guys and myself on some workouts are really pushing hard, you can get yourself a Gatorade, and it's very helpful because, one, it has all the sugar that you need, and you can go on for another 30 minutes and, you know, keep pushing you know, with that as well. Now, the one thing I find funny is that my son, you know, he's going to basketball practice, and, you know, I'm looking at him, he's taking this big bottle of Gatorade with him, and he's drinking it, and there's no sweat coming from this basketball practice whatsoever, which, you know, I mean, he's like 8 or 9 years old, you know, when he was doing this. And I was like, you know what, you really don't need Gatorade. You know, I know it tastes good and it's sweet and everything, but you really aren't pushing yourself hard enough to need Gatorade is what I'm saying. Yeah. So yeah, I'm not opposed to Gatorade. I just think there are times for it, you know, with their sugar amounts, you know, that I think are pretty high, but once again, it kind of depends.
Before when we've talked about the really tough workouts, that having Gatorade, and if you're coming, you know, 2/3 of the way through the workout and you're struggling, sometimes a Gatorade can really push you through to the end.
Yeah. Sometimes, you know, I go into a workout and this is a story where I was very grateful I had Gatorade, because I pushed through this workout. I was in a rush to go to this early morning workout. I was overslept. And so I'm there coming in right on time at 6 a.m. Haven't had anything to drink, nothing to, you know, eat. And then I do this workout, and sure enough, 30, 45 minutes into it, I'm laying on the ground. I'm kind of dizzy, you know, just got through doing a set of abs. I'm really dizzy. It's hard to get back up. I'm not focusing right. And, you know, but I had a Gatorade was in the vending machine, and, you know, I took a couple sips of Gatorade, about half the bottle, and made all the difference in the world. I was able to get back into that workout. It took about 4 or 5 minutes for it to start work. But, you know, that is a prime example of what happens when you don't fuel properly before and during a workout. Because if I hadn't had that Gatorade or some kind of fruit juice or something with some carbs in it, I'd have still been there, you know, and just dizzy, and maybe even gone to the next level of starting to throw up,
yeah,
you know, and be nauseated to,
which
to
is always level. Pleasant.
Yeah. Yeah. You never want to throw up. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, there's a lot of people that do workouts that they throw up, you know, at the end of it. And it's, like I said, 9 times out of 10, it is from just having low blood sugar going through it. And so that's where the ABDs do help out before and during. Yeah.
So there is another condition that causes that reaction, and that's if you partied a little too much the night before.
Yeah, that is true.
Right. You and I, because of our personalities, I don't think we ever would experience that, but we do know people, because we had a bunch when my son was here training, you know, not off independently.
Yeah.
He and some buddies came over, and one of the guys had partied too much the night before, and he suffered.
Yeah. Yeah. That's brutal. I mean, I think, you know, we did that a couple of times, especially the last week of SEAL training. You know, there's a couple of hell weeks in SEAL training. Are you familiar with hell weeks? And, you know, you got the hell week in first phase. You got another one called Dregger hell week in second phase, where it's 2 dives a day doing Dreggers. It's pretty challenging. It's not that bad, but it's pretty challenging. And then the last hell week is the week of graduation. They call Kegger hell week. And it's brutal. It's brutal. But you're so darn happy that graduating that, yeah, you test your limits a little bit.
I understand. Yeah. So let's now move to the after, Stu. So let's move to the after.
Yeah. You know, the after is going to be fairly similar depending on all types of things that just happened, right? Depending on who you are, you know, once again, you know, this guy, you know, I always recommend, you know, if you really are trying to lose weight, try to eat less, right? Because we tend to be in a big habit of eating more, eating everything on our plate. You know, it's part of how we were just raised. And if you were an athlete in a previous life, you know, you may still be eating like the powerlifting athlete and the football player, you know, who's trying to maintain weight, and he's got to eat an extra 2,000 calories a day in order to be a 250-pound, you know, linebacker or whatever. You know, so You know, unfortunately, those habits stick with you, and you know, and 10 years later, you're 50 pounds overweight because you haven't curbed the way you eat. So my afters are the it depends for my afters are, you know, what are your goals? Are you trying to gain weight? Then you need to pump the calories as much as you can and eat, get some protein in there, just for muscle recovery. You're going to need carbs in there, especially if you're a hard gainer. You know, you're going to need the extra calories of carbohydrates, and that can be a variety of carbohydrates. It can be dairy carbohydrates. It can be fruits and vegetables carbohydrates. And, you know, if you're a really lean kid, an early teenager, who's just stuck at being skinny, you know, you're called a hard gainer, and you're going to see the best results if you combine your protein and your carbohydrates together, and don't worry about carbs, you know, just eat, you know. I guess carbs have gotten a bad rap, you know, in a lot of these diet plans. And if you're trying to gain weight, you need carbs. If you're a 40-year-old trying to lose weight, yes, you can definitely reduce your carbs. But when we talk about reducing carbs, we're talking about reducing sugar. Yeah. So we're talking about, you know, cookies and cake and breads and pastas, even, you know, some of those things. But, you know, don't eliminate carbohydrates and miss out on all the nutrients of fruits and vegetables that your body needs to help you recover from these previous workouts too. So now the afters, you got to think of it this way. The after is not only helping you recover from the previous workout that you just endured, but it's also preparing you for your next one, right? So remember we say, what have you been doing the last 12 hours when you had a really great workout? Well, you can do the same thing if you have a real crappy workout. What did I do the last 12 hours? And yeah, you can usually tie it into, well, I ate at McDonald's. I didn't sleep but 4.5 hours last night, and I'm a little bit dehydrated. And you wonder why you have a crappy workout.
Yeah,
that happens, you know. But, you know, if you can flip all those and make them a little bit healthier choices and better choices, you know, your workouts will be, you know, higher caliber.
Yeah. And Stu, it's also, you know, one of the things that you're doing here is you're not only talking to an audience that is working out, but you also have a significant portion of people who are tactically involved.
Yes.
And they have to function, the first responders, the spec ops folks, they have to respond regardless of what their body is telling them. And so adopting these kind of philosophies will allow you to be able to function when you need to function.
Absolutely. And if you think about, you know, how the brain really is fueled, it's fueled from glycogen, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, typically, you get all your brain power from glycogen. That is stored energy in your body that can be made from a variety of different ways, but primarily it's made from good carbohydrates. It can be made from other sources as well. But typically, if you really need for your brain to turn back on, you know, it's good to have some kind of carbohydrate source real quick. Like I said, after I was getting dizzy from that workout first thing in the morning after rushing, you know, my brain would not have worked very well if I needed to really think and creatively get through a situation like that. So, I mean, yes, absolutely. On a tactical level, you know, you definitely need to have some form of carbohydrate, protein, source nearby, you know, even, you know, a good fat source nearby as well. I don't want to eliminate fats because, you know, fats, you know, the omega-3s, you know, good nuts and, you know, olive oil, you know, all of those have really good properties to help also with recovering from workouts because it helps your body to naturally reduce inflammation. Plus it's a great source of energy too. You know, especially if you're keeping a nice steady low heart rate, you know, you can stay in a fat burning mode and just pump nuts, you know, into your almonds into your body, And, you know, you can have a lot of energy, you know, going on for many, many miles, you know, if need be, many, many hours, you know, and just be a fat burner during that whole thing. So, I mean, think about this, you know, those guys that are running marathons, mm-hmm. and they're running at a sub 5 minute mile, right, for 26 miles. I mean, and they get it done in 2 hours. You know, their energy systems are set up in a way that are just like everybody else's. They're going to be burning sugar yep. for a significant part of that, but they are so conditioned that they can get their body and their heart rate down, you know, to a non-anaerobic zone and, you know, push a very fast mile. Whereas you and I, if we were running a 5 minute mile, we would be way anaerobic into the 180s, you know, 190s and throwing up at the end of it. They've gotten their conditioning so well that they're down, their heart rate is so low. So their fuel needs are different than you and I running a 5 minute mile. Right. So anyway, I don't mean to change the subject on that, but I mean, think about the fueling needs of different people are going to depend on your conditioning, your age, your goals, any medical issues going on. So, you know, like I said, I love this conversation, but I think people need to realize that there's not a one answer for your nutritional needs. And probably the best way to do that is kind of keep a little food journal and a diary of what you're eating, how you're performing, you know, and just make sure that you know at the end of the day that, hey, this is a really great day. What did I eat? Yeah. You know, and then start considering that same process, or at least the same types of foods, same macronutrients and rest. And, you know, those activities that can help your performance get better. Because that's really what this is all about. This is really the ABDs of nutrition for human performance and better health.
You know, to close up, Stu, you had a ballpark equation for daily consumption of liquids. And you said that the highly active person, 50 to 75% of your body weight in pounds equals ounces per day of water.
Yeah, if you're a pretty active person, you know, let's say you're a 100-pound person, right? Yeah. 50 ounces of water is in the ballpark. 50 to 75 ounces of water is in the ballpark. If you're a 200-pound person, like myself, 100 ounces is in the ballpark. That's not even a gallon of water, which I drink over a gallon of water a day, but it's spread out through the day. There's no issue with hyponatremia, you know, when you drink a gallon of water spread throughout 12 hours, because you're just going to pee it out every couple of hours anyway. It's not one big flush of your system done in a matter of minutes, you know. So, yeah. But, yeah, anytime you're drinking that much water, you definitely want to make sure that you have your electrolytes in balance too, especially if you're sweating.
Yep. I think you've given people the summary here. It is track what works, experiment, make sure you know, and everything in moderation.
Oh, and, absolutely. Yeah.
In the water point, make sure you keep your electrolytes going when you know that you're flushing your system with fluids because of the conditions.
Yes. So
I think you've covered that one. The one thing I do want you to cover is you have a super cool new book out. We talked about it in the last one, the last podcast, but I want to make sure people know this thing is there. This is Stu's going to grab it here.
Yeah, my Warrior Workouts.
I love that book.
Oh, you do? It's cool.
I do. I love the idea of it, Stu. It's just a compendium of workouts you've done with your crowd down there in Maryland. Yep. Yep.
So that's not a workout page, but yeah, here's some of the, you know, the workouts. So running leg PT, that's always a classic.
Yep.
Yeah. You know,
so my copy is on the way, I understand, but
it is.
Thank you, buddy. But I'm sure it's unsigned, as all my Stu Smith books are.
No, I signed this one.
Did you really?
I did, yes.
Oh, that's awesome.
I hooked you up. I hooked you up.
All right, pal. Well, as usual, it's great. Tactical Fitness Report with Stu Smith, number 64, ABDs of Nutrition.
Yes. And if you really want nutritional advice, go find a dietitian or a nutritionist who is, that's their job, is to help you with doing it. Especially if you are trying to cut calories so much that it can become dangerous, right? So, and they will be able to balance everything out and make sure you're getting the proper nutrition that you need. Don't just cut calories to cut calories blindly. Actually get some advice to do that. So I just want to make sure, because like I said, I'm not a nutritionist or a dietitian, but you know, we all eat and we all have experiences with eating. So you need to get good at it and you need to do it right if you're going to be in a higher performance state. So
there you go. All right. Later, pal.
All right. Thank you, everybody.